I'm feeling very much at home, and I hope that won't mean that I'll extend my time. God will have mercy on me, so pray for me and extend my time. I want to once again honor the pastor and pastor misses in the house. Thank you for inviting me, and of course, Baba. Our first home when we came to Leicester over 20 years ago was Baba. I was heavily pregnant, and that boy is over 20 years old now, so you know that that must be something. So we appreciate, I'll always appreciate this parish. I spent about 3 years before we moved on. And I always appreciate Mommy Odusanya. When they knew I was in hospital on that Saturday morning to give birth, she came with Baba. They were at the hospital all through waiting for me to give birth. And the baby came around 6. Finally. So I always remember, I can never forget. If there's something I always try to do, I remember the good deeds that people did. And I always bless the Lord for them. How many people can do that? I was a practical stranger. I've been here for just a few months. And, you know, you came, you left your house Saturday that you rest. You left your house to come and make sure that the baby came. And the baby came, thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. I actually need someone to help me. A singer, please, because I feel the anointing in the house today is the anointing for breakthroughs. Amen. Yesterday was a bit heavy for us. I know. Oh dear, well, we came here expecting miracles. But the most important thing is to have a state of heart that will prepare you. Because in real fact, we've not really fully understood what God wants to do in this season. And if we have our hearts ready, then exploits. You know, Gio talked about soaring. There's nothing other than soaring. There's nothing higher than soaring. So where God is taking us to, we need to have the heart to be able to get to that location. And I'm grateful to God because I received, you know, there's this prayer group. I posted it. The international prayer group. They've been praying every morning from, you know, well, our time is 4 now. But 5 o'clock Nigerian time. And it was the general overseer that came to close the session this morning. So I've been prayed for. I've been prayed for. And I believe that I'm bringing that grace here to the house. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I believe I was boasting about this choir that, no, this choir is brilliant. This choir is on top of it. This choir knows what they are doing. I may not be a singer, but I do sing on occasion. And I have an ear, so I know when it's off key, even myself. Hallelujah. By your spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrected. By your spirit I will rise from the ashes of the grave. The resurrected King is resurrected. So there are some people in the house. You had some dreams. Some were childhood dreams. And it's as if you put those dreams on the shelf to say, well, it doesn't seem as if this can happen anymore. Some of us, we've even forgotten. But the God of heaven has not forgotten. He's saying, think back. Think back. Remember how you used to dream. Remember how you used to envision where you want to be by this time of your life. I'm breathing upon those dreams again. I'm breathing resurrection life into those dreams again. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. And there are also some people in the house, mature singles. You are thinking God has forgotten about you. But I've come to assure you that he has not. And is preparing. And what is preparing will cause envy. What is preparing will cause people to say, wow, so it can be like this. Because it is good to wait for the Lord. It is good to wait on the Lord. So do not give up. Don't lose hope. He's resurrecting that hope. He's resurrecting that hope. And very soon, bone will come to his bone. Flesh to his flesh. There will be a divine alignment as the Lord lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. By your spirit I will rise
from the ashes of the grave. The resurrected King, he is resurrected.
Online, you've been given a report, and you have said, what kind of report is coming in this season of time? This is not the kind of report meant for me. God is telling you now that he has canceled that report, and within 24 hours, you will have a different story to tell, a story of victory, a story of liberation. A story of deliverance. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you. We want to bless your name. Thank you for how you started with us in this conference since Friday. We even thank you for 63 days ago. It was as if the journey was so long. Where are we going to end? We'll drop by the wayside. But you sustained, you strengthened, and you helped us. And here we are, rejoicing in victory. We give you the praise. And we pray for those that missed here and there. Because we prayed for mercy for 21 days, your mercy will speak on their behalf in the mighty name of Jesus. And our Father God, the various demands that have been made, we have asked, we have sought, we have knocked. We pray that, Father, beyond expectation, beyond imagination, you will bestow upon us all and our household in the name of Jesus, that your church will not be the same again. To you be the glory, to you be the honor, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Thank you, God. Please don't go too far. Hallelujah. So yesterday was mostly the focus on the internal things to make sure that we are experiencing the right restoration and also rebuilding the right things. Because if the foundation be destroyed, the Bible asks the question, what can the righteous do? So we may look, the building may be okay, but how many people know that many buildings have collapsed? Many buildings have given way, they've crumbled. And by the time they do the investigation, they see that something was not right. How many people know about the Titanic? I believe everybody does know. Do you know that they use very cheap bolts to bind the thing together? And by the time they hit that iceberg, it could not but collapse. Something so seemingly insignificant sank the Titanic, apart from the boats that even God can't sink this one. God will have mercy. Jesus' name. So I'm reading from 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. And I'm reading the New King James. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. And the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, "See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan, and let every man take a beam from there, and let us make there a place where we may dwell." So he answered, "Go." Then one said, "Please consent to go with your servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, "Alas, master," for it was borrowed. So the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore, he said, "Pick it up for yourself." So he reached out his hand and took it. So in this scripture, we can see both restoration and rebuilding. So we have a combination of the theme for this weekend. In the first instance, Elisha and the sons of the prophet, they had where they used to live. But it dawned on the sons of the prophets that it's a squeeze here. It's becoming too tight here. I want to use the bathroom and I have to wait for an hour before it's free for me. So it's time that we relocated. So it was time to rebuild, in other words. So this includes restoration and also rebuilding. So we can see restoration in a bigger space, more accommodation, more conducive environment, and so on. Then we also see restoration in the axe head that fell and was returned to the prophets. So this message is a prophetic message, and it's a prophetic call, because we open with the sentence that the son of the prophet came and said, "This place is too small." Tell your neighbor, "This place is too small." So that is what God is saying in this season, that this place is too small. You know, you can be used to tight places, but God is saying what? This place is too small. What we were building in 2019, March, in this season, it is what? It is too small. That is why when we do any program at all, we have to accommodate the fact that we are talking to the whole world. Because this place before, our vision was what? Too small. So God is calling us to extend and expand our vision, extend and expand our thinking, extend and expand whatever it was we were building in time past. We are not building the same way. It's not possible. We cannot build it the same way. We just finished 63 days fast. If it goes back to business as usual, then that means something is wrong somewhere. Something is really, really wrong. So our mindset has to change to enlarge. Our vision has to change to enlarge. Our dreams have to change to enlarge so that we can be where God wants us to be. You know, Elisha could have easily told the son of the prophet, "Why do we need to go to the Jordan? Let's just enlarge, you know, by the time we add an inch here and a centimeter there and whatever meters and all that. We can expand, isn't it? We can expand to the left, the right, and all that." But he agreed with them that they needed to move. Tell yourself, "I need to move. I cannot be on the same level. I cannot be on the same spots as before. The person you are seeing now is different from the person on January 10. When did we start the fast? January 11. So the person on January 10 is different from the person March 14th. Days have passed. Weeks have passed. 2 months, 2 whole months have passed. Every other person I knew were doing 21 days, and Redeem said 21 times 3. But we have learned by experience that when we are given that command, it's because of where God is taking us to. So we cannot do it like other people and say, oh, these ones, they are mad. It's better to follow the madness and get the best out of it. Hallelujah. There are some good madnesses, if there's such a word. So there was a call that this place is too small. We need to rebuild. We need to rebuild, but we need to rebuild in a different location. So which means that in this season of time, you need to know you are not rebuilding in the same place you used to rebuild. Or pardon me, you had the building before. There needs to be a shift. Tell your neighbor again, shift. Shift. We know that in African culture, the shift can be quite rude, but I hope I'm observing social etiquette by telling us to shift. This is a good shift. Hallelujah. It's a good shift. It's a good shift. So the sons of the prophets were the ones that came to Elisha and said, this place is too small. And when we talk about the sons of the prophets, we are talking about people that are learning under the school of prophecy. Schools of prophecy came long before Bible college, before theological schools and what have you. The sons of the prophets, they were learning and they felt, well, we need better accommodation and we need to move. So we need to be people that are what? Learners. We've been told time and time again that the illiterates of the 21st century, I may not quote it correctly, is the person who cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn. I don't know which order it is, but you get it. So we need to learn some new things. We need to unlearn some old things because the new wine needs new wine skins. The new wine will burst the old wine skins. And we are comfortable with the old, isn't it? The old is familiar. The old is comfortable. You don't even have to think to do the old. But God is calling us to think differently, to think outside the box, to learn. Gio has said it before that the experiences of many have been captured in books. It's only the foolish that will not take advantage. There's this terrible saying I hate so much, and it's not true of me, that if you want to hide anything from an African, hide it in a book, they won't read it. I believe we are readers in this place. Readers are leaders. There should be loads of books you are reading at different times. Amen. There should be learning that should be increasing. Amen. We are told that every time there's a change, the church is like 50 years behind. Whereas that should not be. We should be the ones setting the pace. We should be the ones being pace setters. We should be the ones that are pioneers. We should be the ones that the world is coming to learn from. Things must change. Things must change, and they are going to change in Jesus' name. Amen. So those prophets, they were learning. No, everybody is not called to be a prophet, but everybody is called to be prophetic. We need to have an understanding of the times to know what we ought to do in different seasons. Because the church that didn't want to change, they still had their, you know, pulpit and everything, still standing up and being very stiff, and they're very, you know, even in their own homes, you cannot see the relaxation there because they are used to the old. And there are things we need to do differently as we are coming out of this season of fasting. And thank God for Brother David, because we know there are more fastings coming up. There's no room to relax. It's even better you don't relax so that the other one, the next one, you would have already been wired, you know, to be able to do it without sweatlessly. And I want to pray, as I was saying yesterday, fasting has become like normal. So there was someone that was saying, oh, I wish I had that grace. Receive that grace in the name of Jesus. Receive that grace in the name of Jesus. The grace that makes you know that when the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. I saw the reality. Because you see food, you are cooking food, you are doing everything for everyone. All the aromas, of course. And your favorite food is then they know they want to go to whatever. And you cannot partake in it. They'll go to all the restaurants and do everything. Order takeaway. But there's a grace. There's a grace. So that you don't need to wake up hungry the moment you hear there's a fast. Receive that grace in the name of Jesus. So, another thing is that we need to actually recognize that the place where we are is small. Think differently. Yesterday, I looked at myself. I said, these young people, they've done 40 days. I've never done a 40-day fast on water or whatever juice. I need to do it. I was angry. And I couldn't even tell my husband quickly. I just said, I'm going on a long fast. I couldn't say how long it was because I'm sure he would say, huh? This woman, craziness again. They have given me a name in our house, Penty Cheeky, because I have my own way of doing things. But like joke, it just went like that. Couldn't believe it. So it's our thinking sometimes that's keeping us where we are. Because some people say the older you become, the more difficult it is for you to fast. I don't believe that one. In fact, when I turned 52 last year, one of my prayers was, I want the healthy body of a 25-year-old, sickness-free. And sometimes I'm doing a 21-day fast. I'm doing 10,000 steps, doing all those things, and you can never tell. Because God answers prayer, so we need to remove it. It's our mindset, in actual fact. But he's faithful. He is faithful. Hallelujah. So we need to recognize the place where we are is too small, and we need to move. Isaiah 54, verses 2 to 3. Isaiah 54, 2 to 3 is talking about enlarging the place. Enlarging the place. You may even sit in a particular place in your home and begin to dream and think, what can happen differently? What can change? You may even need to have, a vision board on your wall somewhere to say, this is what I envision. This is what I'm looking to. Amen. And as we dream, God dreams with us. I was told I have all these outrageous prayers. I pray them, and the thing is that I've prayed the outrageous prayer, and I leave the place as if I prayed nothing. Because God is calling us to think outside the norm, to think differently. May God expand our thinking. Amen. May God enlarge our thinking. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Then also, the son of the prophet said, let's go to the Jordan to start this new building we are talking about. The Jordan is not a usual river. We talk about the parting of the Red Sea, but there's a parting of the Jordan as well. Where Elijah split that Red Sea, that river is also there. Elisha did the same thing. So at least three times we know. On three different occasions. So the Jordan is not an ordinary place. Why did he pick that place? And that was also where Naaman in chapter 5 was cleansed. So it was not an ordinary place. Tell your neighbor, don't build in an ordinary place. You need to build extraordinary. Build extraordinary. Build extraordinary. May God expand our capacity in the mighty name of Jesus. So they knew where to get the building materials. In Haggai chapter 1 verse 8, which I couldn't really deal with, the chapter 1 of Haggai yesterday, it talks about going up to the mountain to get wood. It says go up to the mountain and bring wood. Is it that there was no wood anywhere else? Of course there was wood, but there was something about the mountain that was the kind of wood, and that was the place that God said. He said, go and build, and I'll take pleasure in it and be glorified. I think one version says, I'll fill this house with my glory. We are building gloriously. We are building gloriously. We are not building the same old shambles. There was a person I knew years ago. She would say shanko, which means small and miserable. We shouldn't be building small and miserable in this season. And as we expand our faith, as we enlarge, our vision, we'll be able to build gloriously in the mighty name of Jesus. So they went to the right place. Then also another thing is that it was the sons of the prophets that went together. The sons of the prophets went together. Proverbs 13 verse 20 says what? Proverbs 13, verse 20. Can I have it on the screen, please? So that I don't misquote it. Thank you. He who walks with the wise men will be what? Wise. But the companion of fools will be destroyed. And I want to expand that to say that the companions of fools will what? Will become foolish. Because these things rub off. These things, they do rub off. The companions of the wise will become wise. So even if you were not wise before, by means of contact, connection, wisdom will come. That's why normally in class, you see that the people that are not so bright, they mingle together. And the wise ones, they mingle. And though our system here is really skewed in that, putting people into groups and all that. But then we can refuse to be in that group, in that bottom set. There are some battles we need to fight as parents. They shouldn't label my child. Maybe you are not teaching him the right way. Or you've decided that, oh, this one cannot, go higher than this. The devil is a liar, and so is his father-in-law and mother-in-law and all the family members. Jesus' name. So, right companions. It was the sons of the prophets that went together. So, who is your companion in this season? Who is your companion? Who are you praying with? Who are you going to fast with? Who are you going to develop yourself with? Who are you walking with? And that's why we check our companions, because if our companions are dragging us down, then that means we need to move, we need to shift, we need to change in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, please, can you stand up? I forgot your name. Please remind me. Yes. Sister Precious. Let's just stretch forth our hands to her and begin to pray that God will have his way in her life in the mighty name of Jesus. The counsel of God alone stands in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the devices of the enemy. We say no in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Safety is your portion in the name of the Lord Jesus. You go safely and you return safely as the Lord lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Then another thing about the passage that we have read as they are rebuilding is that honor. They were building with honor. They were building with honor. The book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. 1 Peter 2, 17 says, honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. We've been looking at the issue of honor in our parish for like 2 weeks now. So it says, honor all people. So which means that nobody is exempted, even children. They have these memes about aunties from Africa. Aunties that are oppressors. Because you are older than I, you just send me anywhere and tell me to do anything. No, please, no, thank you, no, nothing. And unfortunately, most of the time it's true. And we see it even in church. Which is wife care is not taking. The young people want to get out of there very quickly and go to an English church because they'll be respected. So God have mercy. That's a message for someone right there. So it says, honor all people. Elisha was the chief prophet, if you want to call him a chief prophet. But they said, we want to build, but please go with us. It's not as if he was cutting the beams with them. I'm sure he was relaxing. Under one tree. But do you know that it's that honor they gave to him that gave them a way out, because we were learning about borrowing and returning. I don't want to be in that prophet's shoe that I'll go back and say, well, I borrowed this from you, but unfortunately, the axe is gone. And what use is a piece of wood without the axe head? It's useless. But because they honored the prophet and told him to go along with them, they had a way of escape. I mentioned this yesterday, that the prophetic is so important. The apostolic is so important. And that's one thing we learned in this season, because everybody wanted to know what God was saying. And that's not something we need to lose at all. We need to know what God is saying. in the book of 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32, 1 Chronicles 12, 32, it says that the sons of Issachar, they had understanding of the times and they knew what Israel ought to do. This is one tribe, Issachar. So they were the ones that all the other 11 will come to and say, what exactly are we to do in this season? But we are all called to be sons of Issachar. Because if John 10, 27 talks about his sheep hearing his voice, and you qualify as a sheep, not as a shepherd, because we have some special people that we call our contractors. We don't want to do the work ourselves to hear from God. And that's why some people are hearing from God as to who to marry. And they jump in and then they begin to suffer at leisure, if I can even call it leisure. We need to be sons of Issachar that have understanding of the times, and we ought to know what to do per time. And God is sharpening our hearing in this season. He's sharpening our seeing in this season. The Bible says the hearing ear and the seeing eye, God made both of them. So why on earth would I want to walk blind? The Bible does say, who is blind but my shepherd? But it ought not to be. We should be able to see. Not that we know everything. We can't be omniscient. That's impossible. But at least we should know something. We should be able to pick up something and know there's danger here. This is what God is saying. We shouldn't just follow the crowd. This is what they are going into now. Then we follow it. And then at the end of the day, we are regretting it because we didn't get the result we want. We need to hear from God. And I want to pray that our hearing be sharpened. I want to pray that our seeing be sharpened in the mighty name of Jesus. We cannot afford to be in the dark. When the unbeliever is, you know, doing this, we don't know what to do. We too should not be saying we don't know what to do or we don't understand what is going on. You know that Daniel was among those magicians and interpreters of dreams and all that. It wasn't strange. It was not strange at all. So if the New Age, whatever, they have all their funny things, they have their funny ways of knowing stuff, then why can't we know? They have their funny ways of interpreting dreams. Why can't we do that and leave it to some select few? No, we take our inheritance. I don't know about you. We take our inheritance. It's part of our inheritance to hear and to see and to know, whether it's through dreams, whether through visions, whether through circumstances or whatever it is, through the prophetic word, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discerning of spirits, whatever. We shouldn't be flying blind. Amen. And I believe that as we fasted, there were some things that were deposited. Maybe we don't know now. We don't know yet. It's after the fact that we know that, okay, this happened, that happened, we'll be able to tell. So don't just feel that, oh, I just fasted. If there's any prayer, I know the Jew always prays, is that his children will be greater than he is. And he's told us before that, why is it that his secondary children are really making it? And I think that was the time when Bishop Oyedepo, started building in, what's the name of that place? Canaan land. And he said, why is it that the secondary children seem to be making it so much more? It's because sometimes the primary children are too familiar. They think he's just saying things. Like he has said now that the convention will be in space. I hope we have heard that one. A time is coming. So those of us that don't like flying, we better start praying now, because if it's in space, we have to get there, isn't it? And I don't want to be watching on TV when I can be there live. Hallelujah. So honor is so key. Honor is very key. They honor the prophet. They took the prophet along. There's a scripture in Ezra that was saying that by the time they started building the altar and the temple, that there were two prophets with them, encouraging them. Zechariah and also Haggai. They were there building with them. I think it's in Ezra 5. I can't, if it's possible to locate the verse. They were building with them. So which means as we are rebuilding, we should be with the prophetic people the prophetic intercessors, the prophets, those that can really see, and we should be able to see to some extent ourselves. We won't fly blind in the name of Jesus. In this new season, we won't fly blind in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you very much. You found it. So Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, rose up and began to build the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were with them, helping them. Have we seen that before? Prophets of God were with them, helping them. You wonder, are they bricklayers? Are they construction workers? What's their own business here? And that's a mystery. We need the prophetic to build with. We need the prophetic to build with. We need the prophetic to build with so that we are not building something that will be obsolete. If they had had the right of prophetic in the Tower of Babel, it wouldn't have ended up like that. There would have been people to tell them that this one, but unfortunately. Then also another thing as we are moving on is that they went to work. They got to the Jordan and they didn't begin to fish. They got to the Jordan and they began to cut down beams. That's what they went for. So which means as we have fasted, it's not an end in itself. There are some things we need to do. We need to work more. Lot of work. I told us yesterday, I started this live thing on Facebook. And if I'm not going to upset the whole family, I have to do it early. So between 5 and 6, whatever, and anyway, we're doing the 63 days. So my day starts like 3:15 a.m. So as I'm finishing the prayer at 5, I'm setting up to go live. So I've been up for hours today already because there's more work to do. Tell your neighbor there's more work to do. The anointing you received in this fast is not just for you to feel good or to have a different tongues or different language. Hallelujah. It's for a reason. It's for a purpose. Then be ready and be quick to call out for reinforcements. The moment the axe head fell, what did that son of the prophet do? He didn't try to swim after it. He didn't grab the other sons of the prophets and say, let's form a line and dive in. No. He had to call the master. And I'm sure when he called the master, Elisha, he wasn't really sure what was going to happen, but just knew that he needed help. Many times we die slowly because we are not asking for help when we need it. They knew that this project appeared as if it has hit, you know, a wall. And we need someone to break down this wall. Otherwise, we won't succeed. So they called for reinforcement. And what did Elisha say? Where did he fall? Then he took a piece of wood, threw it in there. And the axe head floated. So they got a miracle out of the ridiculous. There are things that are ridiculous that God will tell us to do in this season. So this is not the time. That's why we need to sharpen our hearing so that this is not the time we'll now say, I thought, get thee behind me, Satan. That we'll now rebuke and cast down, cast out and cast whatever. Because there are some ridiculous things that God will tell us to do. Some of the ridiculous things I did last year, I keep talking about last year because it was a pivotal year for me. I'm there sitting down on my cushion early morning, and there I'm sowing some seeds to different ministries. There are some bank accounts now I know, you won't believe I know them. You want to know how did you know the bank accounts of this person? They are not in the redeemed, and it's not something you can see openly somewhere. But because I know that I can't do things the same way, by God's grace, I inherited the grace to give, and I added to it. Or God added to it. And that's part of the honor we are talking about. Honor. Honor opens the door. Dishonor closes it. So there are some people. It's not only the general overseer I've seen in my dream. Last year it was like a dream of general overseers. Not only the Jew. There was one that came and held my hands and prayed for me and prayed for me and prayed for me. There was one that was saying, oh, we need to create space for you here. Why? Because honor. And I discovered that these are people that have honored in time past. And that's one thing we are lacking sort of in the church. We look at people's gifts, we envy something there, and then we start gossiping and backbiting and whatever. Instead of us to go and celebrate them. Because these things, as we said, they rub off. I've been repeating something, that the anointing we do not respect will move away from us. There's nothing you can do. If you don't like it, your boss at work, you feel you are more educated, and you disrespect and dishonor him. Every other person in the office, they are talking against him, and you are joining. These are things that we are losing. We go on social media, and we know all the reasons why Kenneth Copeland is a false teacher. Do we know the history of, part of the history of Bishop? He classes Kenneth Copeland as one of his mentors or one of his fathers. There was a time that Kenneth Copeland told him that God asked him to give him his suits. And when a man of God as anointed as that says he's giving you his suits, what do you think will happen? So no wonder when they are counting the richest preacher in Africa, they don't need to go looking. Because he received it. Some are still shouting about whether something is prosperity preacher or what have you. The anointing we cannot respect. We move away. Thank God Elisha was there and he was able to build with them. Let us begin to pray. There's work to do. A lot of work to do. We can't do business as usual. We can't do business as usual. Thank God we know that whether we call it a secular job or whatever, we are still a Christian wherever we are. We are to be light. We are to be salt. We are a city set upon a hill, which cannot be hidden. So in this season of time, let's talk to God. Yes, I've fasted. I've done the fasting, but I want to do the action. There's more work to do. There's more work to do. Can God give you his burden? Sometimes we want to do something and ask God to bless it, but whereas God, he wants us to ask him that, what are you doing that I can partner with you to do? God is looking for partners. He's looking for partners. He's looking for partners. Are you there? And I believe the children know they are not left out, because he's pouring out his spirit on all flesh. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what children are being used for. Children can heal the sick, can cast out demons, can preach the gospel. In fact, this morning in my post, I was talking about children being very good prayer warriors. As a parent, you have some issues you want God to deal with. Give the thing to the child, and they'll pray through. That's part of honoring all men. So many solutions can come out of them if we treat them right. If we treat them right, we can get so much from them. In this season, God is pouring out his spirit on all flesh. Our sons and our daughters, they have to prophesy. Our young men, they must see visions. Our old men, they have to dream dreams. Our maid servants are not left out. Our man servants are not left out. So everybody is being carried along in this season. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that every house is built by some man. But he that built all things is God. I'm building with you in this season. I'm not building my own thing. That's why the Tower of Babel did not succeed, because there was no God in it. God was not involved. They went behind his back, so to speak, and started building a monstrosity that he had to destroy. I don't want to build something that will be destroyed. I don't want to build. If you are not building with me, Psalm 127. I want to build what you are building in this season. You have a purpose for my life. I must fulfill purpose. I must fulfill destiny. I must fulfill purpose. I must fulfill destiny. I must fulfill purpose. I must fulfill destiny. And if there's something that I'm building that you are not in it, young lady, that relationship, God is not in it. He has told you every which way, but you are stubborn. You are proving stubborn. He's telling you once again, that relationship, I'm not in it. Don't weep in future. Get out of there. Get out of there. Get out of there. Get out of there. That relationship, I'm not involved. I'm not in it. That business deal, I'm not in it. That's why hearing from God is so key, because we can expend money and energy and all that because God is not in it. Many people may be rushing there. I remember back in the day in Africa, everybody seemed to be going into seamstresses or tailors or what have you. They saw manner of atrocities in the name of clothes because that was not where they were supposed to be. Father God Almighty, let us build what you are building. Let us build what you are building. Let's not build our own thing. Let's not build our own thing that I have to scatter. We've spent so much time in these 63 days. We've paid the price. We've paid the price. We've paid the price. Help us, Lord. Reorder our steps. Every misalignment, let them be divinely aligned. Let your name be glorified. Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name for today. Thank you for how you spoken to us in diverse ways. We are praying, Jehovah El Shaddai, that you speak to us the more. The things we need to correct, the things we need to change, the things we need to accommodate, the things we need to drop. You know every single area. We are calling upon you, Lord Jesus, that you will do it. And you help us, because there are some things that our pet loves, but they are not helpful. We are asking in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus that you will intervene. You make us will and do of your good pleasure. And you reward us as if we did it of our own accord. You are not a taskmaster. And when you take something from us, you are giving us something better. Help us to trust you better as we go forward. Help us to trust you more as we move ahead. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. To you be all the praise. To you be all the glory. And I want to pray for this house. I'm asking that breakthrough that is needed, you will administer to them in the name of Jesus. I'm asking because the Bible says that through you, we run through troops. And through you, we leap over walls. So what are those walls? What are those mountains? We declare them leveled. We declare them removed in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. That those things that have seemed hard, those hard places, we say they are softened in the name of Jesus. Because this church is moving forward from where they were before. They are not building the old way. They are not doing things the old way. They are doing things differently. So the result has to be different. And so shall it be in the name of Jesus. And your name shall be glorified. Thank you, Lord, for the men, the women, the young, the old, the married, the unmarried, the children, the pregnant women. To you be the glory for preservation, protection, care, and breakthroughs. Blessed be your holy name. Even those that are believing you for their own house, Lord, you supply. You move things around and cause it to come to be in the name of Jesus. We say no more delay. We remove every barrier in the mighty name of Jesus. To you be the praise forevermore. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen.